This is Pastor Emory. Is there a secret ruling power over our nation which can cause depression, unemployment, bankruptcies, plan wars, and control the laws and the government over the people without the knowledge of most citizens of the nation? Now, since the final collapse of South Vietnam as per plan, I think instead of going on in Revelation 18 today, I'm going to read a portion of that old broadcast about the Vietnam War. I just said that South Vietnam was falling to communism as per plan, the plan made years ago in Paris and called the Peace Agreement. Henry Kissinger himself gave away the plan to cause the fall of South Vietnam when he remarked after returning from Paris that we would allow a decent interval to elapse before we let South Vietnam fall into communist hands, either by military decision or by agreement. And that so-called decent interval apparently is now up. So they called the Paris Agreement a peace agreement, although the war did not stop at all, because it was designed to bring about the fall of South Vietnam by the withdrawal of American aid, as per plan. It was done to China in 1948, to Cuba in 1958, and now to South Vietnam in 1975. But anyway, you listen to the first portion of this first broadcast from January 1968, and as you listen, remember, the war was going full blast. We had 500,000 men there. We were suffering 50,000 casualties a year, and the South Vietnamese from 2 to 4 times that number. The broadcast begins, quote, "Well, 1968 is a week old, and it already looks like 1967. And this year, as last, one of the greatest burdens of Christian people is the sorrow and fear we have for our teenagers being killed, maimed, or dying from disease in Vietnam. One Arizona boy is dying in Vietnam every other day. Total U.S. casualties are now over 1,500 per week. Almost all of those who will die this year will be 18 and 19 years old, and they will die fighting for the same hills, the same villages, the same ridges, and the same rice paddies that other 18 and 19-year-old American boys died for last year, or the year before that, or the year before that. If you have a map of California, or our West Coast, get it and a pencil before we go on, because I am going to make you an armchair general by moving the Vietnam War to California. You can visualize California as Vietnam in reverse, facing west to the sea instead of east. Take your pencil and draw a line from the southeast corner of California, northwest to the city of Sacramento, and then from there west to the Pacific Ocean. You will enclose an area of approximately the same size as South Vietnam and the same population, about 19 million. Then draw another line from Sacramento, north through the center of Oregon State to the Washington border, and then follow the Columbia River west to the Pacific Ocean. That will enclose an area the size and shape of North Vietnam and the same population. Saigon would be where Los Angeles is. Our air base at Da Nang would be at San Francisco. Hanoi would be at Medford, Oregon, and Haiphong at the Pacific coast near Medford. You are now the commanding general, and your objective, according to your president, is to fight communist guerrillas in South California who are supplied through the country you've outlined in Northern California and Oregon. To do this, you have put ashore 500,000 U.S. soldiers and Marines in South California. The California government has about 800,000 Californian soldiers equipped and trained by you and under your command, giving you a total of 1,300,000 troops, about the same number that Eisenhower had in Europe after D-Day. Opposing you in South California are about 75,000 Mexican peasants and about 50,000 Indians from North California, Oregon, and Washington, or a total of 125,000 men, about one-tenth of your military forces. You have all the latest military equipment, including 7,000 planes in South California, with jets capable of carrying rockets, 750-pound bombs, napalm, 20-millimeter cannon, and 50-caliber multiple machine guns. You have several hundred tanks and armored vehicles, 1,000 artillery pieces, unlimited trucks, and unlimited small weapons. Off the coast of South California, Oregon, and Washington, you have 50,000 men in 60 U.S. Navy ships, including 4 or 5 aircraft carriers. On the aircraft carriers are 300 more fighter bombers capable of flying to the far side of the war zone in 20 minutes, day or night. All are radar equipped. On Hawaii, 2,100 miles away, you have 200 long-range B-52s, each capable of carrying 60,000 pounds of bombs that you can drop by radar, fair weather or foul, within 100 feet of any point on Earth. Now, the 125,000 troops facing you versus your 1,300,000 troops in South California have no airplanes, no anti-aircraft guns, no tanks, no trucks, no artillery pieces, no radar, no manufacturing plants, and the 19 million people of South California who live there are opposed to them. And I should insert here, the communists fighting in Vietnam today have these weapons, but they did not have them in South Vietnam while our soldiers were fighting there. Reading on from this 1968 broadcast. On top of all of that, all of their clothing, medical supplies, weapons and ammunition, and the main part of their food must be unloaded from foreign ships at a harbor in Oregon, taken by train to Medford, then overland by truck or coolie 450 miles to the vicinity of Reno, Nevada, and then carried by man or donkey several hundred more miles to reach the battle area of South California. All of this they must do while you have complete control of the air and the seas of both countries. Meanwhile, your supplies come in 100 cargo ships and landing craft to within a few miles of your troops, and you have 10,000 trucks to haul them over roads that have never seen an enemy aircraft. Supplying you is the United States of America, the most highly industrialized nation on Earth, with its 200 million people able to produce one half of all the world's manufactured goods. Your job, don't win. Your job is this, to take those 1,300,000 men and 160 ships and 7,000 airplanes and more vehicles, more ammunition, and more bombs than it took to conquer Europe in 1944 and 45, and use them in such a way so as not to defeat the Viet Cong guerrillas or win the war. Mr. and Mrs. Armchair General, do you think you could do it? Well, my Christian friends, your President, your Secretary of State, your Secretary of Defense, and the Army, Navy, and Air Force commanders, and 1,000 other figures in top commands in the American government have been able to use all those men and all that equipment and all of those bombs and have kept from knocking out the communists in South Vietnam for over 3 years. And this is Pastor Emery, and that is enough for today. Remember, what you were hearing was a part of a radio broadcast I did in 1968. By the time the Vietnam War was over, we had fought there twice as long as it took us to conquer North Africa, all of Western Europe, and defeat Japan in the South Pacific and in Asia in World War II. I want to read just a little more of that 1968 broadcast on the Vietnam War. Last week I read the part that made the listeners an armchair general of the war, and then I read where we compared the size of the two armies in 1968. The United States had 500,000 Americans and 800,000 Vietnamese on their side, making a total of 1,300,000, about the size of Eisenhower's army in Europe against the Germans in 1944. The Viet Cong had about 125,000 men, or one-tenth as many as the United States. Also, the United States had thousands of planes, tanks, and trucks, and hundreds of ships, while the Viet Cong had none of these. All they had at that time was small arms and machine guns. And I'll repeat a portion of what I read last week and then read on. Quote, "All of this time you have complete control of the air and the seas of both countries. Meanwhile, your supplies come in 100 cargo ships and landing craft to within a few miles of your troops, and you have 10,000 trucks to haul them over roads that have never seen an enemy aircraft. Supplying you is the United States of America, the most highly industrialized nation on earth, with its 200 million people able to produce one half of all the world's manufactured goods. Your job, don't win. Now, your job is this, to take those 1,300,000 men and 160 ships, 7,000 airplanes, and more vehicles, more ammunition, and more bombs than it took to conquer Europe in 1944 and 1945, and use them in such a way so as not to defeat the guerrillas or win the war. Mr. and Mrs. Armchair General, do you think you could do it? Well, my Christian friends, your President, your Secretary of State, your Secretary of Defense, and the Army, Navy, and Air Force commanders and 1,000 other people in positions of power in the American government have been able to use all of those men and all that equipment and all those bombs and have kept from knocking out the communist guerrillas in South Vietnam for over 3 years. And I should interject here again, that was in 1968. The war went on in the same manner for 5 more years, finally resulting in the defeat of the superior army. And now, in that broadcast, I compared the war in Vietnam, which had been going on for 41 months at the time of that broadcast, with the 41 months of the war in Europe in World War II. Now, you listen to this comparison. This was originally broadcast in 1968. Quote, "It is now 41 months since the Gulf of Tonkin incident. That is as long as it took us to win World War II against Germany and Italy and bring Japan to her knees. In 41 months, from December of 1941 to May of 1945, we took from the Germans and the Italians Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, Sicily, Crete, Italy, France, Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg, Norway, Denmark, and the western two-thirds of Germany itself to end the war in Europe. We did this while the Germans had scores of submarines sinking our ships and 20,000 airplanes in Europe. There are no planes and no navy opposing us in the tiny country of South Vietnam. In that same 41 months on the other side of the world, starting at Guadalcanal in 1942, we took from the Japs New Guinea, Borneo, Sumatra, the rest of the East Indies, Malaya, scores of islands in the Pacific, including Guam, Wake, Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Okinawa, and Formosa, and at the same time retook the Philippines, drove the Japs out of Burma, Thailand, and Cambodia, supplied Chiang Kai-shek enough weapons and equipment to drive the Japanese out of the huge nation of China, and yes, you parents of boys in Vietnam, We conquered all of what is now known as both North and South Vietnam, and it was a jungle and rice paddies then, just as it is today, except that it was defended by 500,000 trained Japanese soldiers, the best jungle fighters in Asia, instead of Vietnamese peasants who had been no match for the Japanese. My Christian friends, it must be obvious to you that it would take much more planning and much more scheming to keep from winning the war in Vietnam than it would take to win it. It must require the most careful planning to see that nothing significant is taken from the enemy. The 1 million-plus men under United States command have been prevented from overrunning and controlling this territory that is one-half the size of the Philippines. We beat the Japanese there in 7 months. A gimmick in Vietnam to prevent us from winning is to conquer some territory, losing many lives, then evacuate and turn it back to the Viet Cong so they can set up new booby traps, new minefields, and ambushes. Then we go in again and take it, losing hundreds or thousands of fine American boys again. They are then ordered to evacuate the area, and the process is repeated month after month after year after year. And for those who blame only the liberals for all of this, let me remind you that the president approves of the war. His former opponent says it is being fought about as he would recommend. Another presidential aspirant says we're trying too hard. And one of the other men who hopes to run for president says we should just drop more bombs. And some of the well-known anti-communist radio broadcasters say they support the war in Vietnam and, in fact, encourage their listeners to support the president's strong stand against the communists in Vietnam. Not a one of them has told you the whole truth, that this war is a stage-managed show designed to keep the eyes of the American people on Vietnam while they socialize and communize America. And Ho Chi Minh, agent of international communism, provides the teenage Vietnamese boys to kill the American boys and to be killed in turn by the American boys to make the war real enough to fool the American people. For America is the prize, not Vietnam. That is the end of my time for reading that. There's much more. That was only part of one broadcast. There are two broadcasts in print titled A Christian Analysis of the Vietnam War, and you can have a printed copy of those two broadcasts complete with the maps and also with quite a number of newspaper articles which we reproduced at the time to prove the point in relation to Bible prophecy. Some of you may remember that at that time many American boys were writing home and telling how their guns were jamming. And in this article, we point out that this apparently was deliberate on the part of the suppliers of the weapons. They were built that way, and they did jam. Thousands of American boys died with inoperable weapons in their hands.